May we never forget that the Word of God was not written for our interest, it was written for our instruction. It wasn't just written so that we could study it and be intrigued with what it has to say. It was written as God's manual for life. Obey the precepts, obey these instructions, and God says, I will bless you, I will reward you, and I will empower you. But he says, go off on your own and ignore my instruction book for life. And suddenly, wonderful Christian people can find themselves in dilemmas they never, ever began to imagine. Have you ever tried to do the right thing the wrong way? Have you ever done your best, put your all, given it your best effort, but because you are trying to do the right thing the wrong way, calamity ensues. My wife and I bought some cattle once. My dad, who's here, helped us pick them out, and we got those cattle to our property. And I grew up around cattle. I enjoy having cattle. And it was a special time for me when I could have some cattle of my own. But lo and behold, they came down sick. And I called my dad and I said, Dad, what do I have to do? He said, well, we're going to have to get some medicine in them. Now, I grew up on farms where we had all of the facilities. We had everything we needed to doctor and take care of animals. But I just had these cows out in a field. And I said, Dad, how in the world are we going to medicate them out in the field? If you've never done this, when you get ready to medicate cattle, you have to do two things. Number one, you have to put a pill down their throat. Now, it's not like any pill you've ever tried to swallow. The pill is about that long, and it's about that big around. And how you get it down a cow's throat is you put it on the end of a steel rod that holds it, and you take the animal and you slip this steel rod down their throat, and then you pop the pill loose, and it goes into their stomach. Now, how many of you can understand the animal thinks you're trying to kill them while you're doing that? They're not the least bit impressed with the genuineness of your care and concern. They want nothing to do. Then what you have to do after that is you have to give them a shot. Now, you got to get a pretty good needle because they have hide. And it's got to be a needle that can go through that hide. The needle looks for all the world like a ballpoint pen cartridge. And what you have to do is put that on their side, and you have to push hard enough to get it in. And how you do it is you pop it in. And that needle penetrates, and then you push the medicine in. I said, Dad, these animals out here in open, how in the world are we going to do this? He said, what we'll do is we'll get some of the neighborhood kids who don't know any better. All right. And we'll get some fence, and we'll walk them into a corner. And then in the corner, we'll get out there with a rope, and we'll lasso one of them, and we'll pull them over to the fence, and when we get them up against the fence, I'll grab the head, you'll grab the tail, and we'll pin them against the fence. And I said to my dad, do you think we can do that? I mean, these are not little cows. I mean, he said, well, it's the only choice you have. How many of you ever been where you thought you only had one choice, right? I mean, this is the only choice you have. I said, okay. Well, we got the neighborhood kids. We got all the cows. And boy, when you get those cows pinned in a corner, they get real nervous. They get antsy. They start moving around. They decorate the ground liberally. I mean, they get upset, right? Well, here I am with my dad, and boy, you know, we've done this before, but it's been an awful long time. And my dad said, now you get the rope, and he said, let's start with a real sick one. Let's get a sick one so we get it down. One that doesn't have too much energy to give us trouble. I said, okay, how many of you ever tried to do the easiest part first, right? I said, that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. My sons are there. They're holding this fence up. I took this rope and I'm swinging it around. And He said, that little brown one right there, he said, that is one sick cow. He said, let's lasso her. Man, I took that rope, flung it out there. First time, Brother Hermit, right on. Got it, pulled it. And boy, that cow was so sick, she just kind of stood there and looked at me. And then she decided she didn't want that rope, so she started backing away. And my dad said, quick, tug it, tug it. Man, I gave the rope a pull. And then I gave it another pull, and something happened I wasn't counting on. She lifted her head up like this, and that rope went right up, and the knot on it hit her in the windpipe. And suddenly, she couldn't breathe. And she looked at me, and her eyes rolled back in her head, her tongue came out, and she fell over on her side, passed out. I was killing her. Now, my dad, who's here, started yelling at me. How many of you ever had one of your folks yell at you a little bit, all right? Bless his heart, he said, now you're doing it, you're killing her. Bad enough, she's sick, now you're going to kill her. Go get the rope off of her. And I panicked. I just panicked. Boy, I ran up to get that rope off, and I know better, but in my panic, I stepped over her head. And I'm pulling this rope loose. I'm just not thinking. How many of you ever done something not thinking? Don't you all look at me like this. We've all had our moments. Whoa. Man, I got that rope loose. She got a breath. She went, whoo! And up she came. Now I'm on her back. And I'm riding her. Now my dad's yelling, ride her, hang with her, we'll get her. And he's got that needle in his hand. And he's saying, I'll give her the shot, you ride her. And I'm looking at that needle, I'm saying, Dad. And boy, before I know it, she kicked and bucked, and I went right off her head, and I'm sliding through all that decoration. I mean, now I get up and I look at my boys, and they said, is that how you're supposed to do it? And I said, no. I went over by my dad and I said, Dad, I don't look good right now. I mean, all these kids are laughing and my sons are busy. He said, well, look, we tried the easiest. Let's take the toughest one first. Let's start at the other end. He said, the toughest one you got, he said, is that black steer right there. He said, that steer's sick, but he said, that steer's got a lot of fight in him. He said, be careful. He's been giving you the eye. He wants to get you. How many of you have had a problem giving you the eye? I mean, I'm like, whoa. So, man, I took this thing and I threw that rope out to get him. He's quick. He saw that rope coming. Man, he flipped his head and I missed. Man, I wound it up again, threw it a second time. I got him clean. And boy, I went to get him and whoa, I thought I'd lassoed a freight train. That old boy backed up and tightened, and he looked at me, and his eyes went whoomp right on me. And he pulled back, and then he started rearing back, and I could feel that rope sliding out of my hands. Now I made the worst mistake. I only had one rope, and I didn't want to lose it. So with that rope reeling out of my hands, you know what I did? How many of you have ever done something truly stupid in your life? Oh, listen. I mean, suddenly, I was tied to what was terrifying. Isn't it amazing in life how a problem can tie you to it? And suddenly you say, how in the world did I ever get here? That steer, me tied to him, whooped his head. My arm almost came right out of the socket. He jerked me and he was off running. I'm sliding across the ground with my arm in front of me. All those decorations are. Suddenly my arm went slack. I looked up, couldn't see much. I went like this, and here he comes. He run right over the top of me.
How many of you ever had a problem run you over? I mean, ran right over the top. Now my arm's going that way. Suddenly, I was tied to what I couldn't handle. You know what I promise you? You're going to face some things in life that are beyond your ability to handle. You be careful that these positive thinkers who want to say, you can, that's not in the Bible. Jesus said, without me, ye can do what?
Nothing.
Boy, he jerked me the other way. Mercifully, after a minute, that came off. I was messed up, bloody. About couldn't use my arm anymore. I stood up. I told my dad, I don't care if they all die. I don't care. In fact, I'm going to help kill them. I said, I'm starting with that black one. Man, that guy liked to got me. My dad said, you know, maybe we better take a minute and get the help we need. And I want you to hear me. If you hear nothing today, the devil's master plan is to get you to keep running on, doing the best you can, throwing every resource you've got at it, but he still can jerk you off your feet anytime he pleases. There's people in this room who've been drugged all over life's barnyard. And the devil can do that until you get the help you need. I stood up, my dad said, let's go buy a head gate. How many of you know what a head gate is? Now, those that have been on farms, it's a metal gate that you put up and you run the animal into it and it locks their head. And what you need is something more powerful than the adversary you face. I was no match for what I was facing, but there was something that was more powerful. We went up to the feed store to buy the head gate. I come walking in, and a guy looked at me, and he said, what have you been doing? He said, you don't look good. I said, well, I've been trying to doctor some cows. He said, well, did you get them, or did they get you? I said, so far, it's cows to me, none. All right. I bought that head gate, went home, put it up. My dad said, which one do you want to put in there first? I said, the black one, he's still got my rope. We got behind him, drove him through that head gate. Boy, that thing snapped on his head. And for the first time, I had something more powerful than what I was facing. Isn't it amazing? I could walk up, put the pill down his throat. I have to confess, I kicked him once just to get even, all right? Gave him his shot, let him go. And you know, my son asked me a question. He said, Dad, why wouldn't you do it the right way the first time? Why would you let yourself get pulled all over like that? Why wouldn't we go back and get the resource that makes all the difference in the world the first time? Every person in this room has got a simple choice in life. You can either throw at it the best you have, all your talent, all your ability, all your effort, but you're no match for what you're facing. Or you can go and get heaven's resource. You can go and get what's more powerful than any problem you will ever face in life. And the choice is yours. Get ready to mark three scriptures down, please, all found in the Word of God. This is God's instruction if you and I are going to know and have available the resource we need. These instructions are simple, but profoundly life-changing. I don't know of any Christian who doesn't want to know how to get heaven's resource, the very power of God, to help them in life and ministry. I've never met anyone who's foolish enough to say, I'm up to everything I face. By the way, how many of you found out there's many more things in life you can't handle than you can hold your hand up? I mean, boy, if you haven't learned that lesson, you just haven't lived long yet. But I give you three resources that are of God that change everything. Resource number one, three simple instructions, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. God says, you want my resource in your life? Then he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't you grieve him. You want God to be what only God can be? You want heaven's power in your life? The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Please note how simple that command is. There are no exceptions. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, don't grieve him too much. Nowhere does it say, don't grieve him most of the time. God said, you want my power in your life. You want my power in your ministry. You want heaven's resource. Then start with this simple commitment that you are going to live a life that doesn't grieve the very Holy Spirit of God. Do you know what the word grieve there means? It means literally to pain, to hurt, to aggravate. God says, I don't want you paining, I don't want you hurting, I don't want you aggravating my spirit. When was the last time you started your day where you said, God, I don't want to grieve your spirit today? It's an absolute command if I'm going to know your blessing and enablement in life. Or are you like most? We just get off running through the day doing what we're trying to do, and when we need help, we say to God, help me, be with me, enable me. And God says, you can't imagine how much I'd love to. But it's not going to happen until you stop grieving me. You know what grieves God? What grieves his spirit? The sins you get comfortable with. The sins that in your life, well, I know it's not right, and yeah, I ought to do, you're right, Brother Gibbs, I'd do something about that, but hey, nobody's perfect, right? And suddenly, you're comfortable with what grieves the very heart of God. When was the last time you said to God, put your finger in my life on exactly what doesn't belong there? Not in the life of someone else, in my life. God, put your finger on what I'm grieving you with. Or you say, now, Brother Gibbs, there's a little problem with that. I mean, I'm afraid if I said that, God might do that. He will every time. But no one is going to know heaven's resource until they've obeyed God's simple instruction. Do not grieve, aggravate, pain, hurt, the very Spirit of God. You see, God put his Spirit in you to do that very thing, to reprove us, to show us what we shouldn't be comfortable with. Now, I don't know what it would be in your life, and you don't know what it would be in mine. And perhaps you're sitting here this morning saying, boy, Brother Gibbs, I'll tell you the truth, I'm just flat perfect. There's nothing wrong with me. Well, I can tell you what's wrong with you. It's called pride, all right? And it's called lying to yourself. You know what? I've never gone to him and said, please show me what I shouldn't be doing, that God doesn't faithfully and mercifully and lovingly put his finger on exactly what in my life doesn't belong there. No man is right on the outside until he's right on the inside. Until you get the private side fixed, the public side is nothing but a show. I don't know about you, but I've put on some pretty good shows. I've pretended on occasion that everything was okay. How many of you have done the same thing? Oh, I mean, it's so easy to get pretending it's all right. And Brother McCoy, it wasn't inside. Oh my, God's instruction book, so simple a child can obey it. He says, just start with me putting my finger on what doesn't belong there. God, what is grieving you? The second instruction, and be sure you do these in this order. Number one, don't grieve the very Spirit of God, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The second command, quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. God said, my instructions are simple. Don't you grieve my Spirit. Don't you quench my Spirit. Don't you do that. Now, to grieve the Spirit means to pain that Spirit. To quench that Spirit, now that's something quite different. When we grieve the Spirit, it's because we've gotten comfortable with what we shouldn't. Those sins that we just let sit. To quench the Spirit means God's drawing and you're resisting. Can I ask you this question? Have you ever said to God, do with me whatever you will. I'm yours. The great hymn of invitation we sing in church, Brother Neff, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Until you've said that and meant that, you're pulling back. Oh, you want God to help do what you want to do. You want God's power for your agenda. You want His enablement for your goals and life's ambition. And God said, I'm looking for you to submit and want what heaven wants. You say, yeah, but what if heaven wants something I don't want? Oh, there's that quench, isn't it? That pulling back, that resisting. Yeah, but what if, how are you ever going to trust Him with eternity if you can't trust Him with life? His plan for your life is always the best. It is always the one that heaven will honor. Don't pain Him. Don't grieve Him. And then don't quench. Now here's a simple mistake. God, show me what you had in mind and I'll let you know what I think. With all due respect, who do you think you are? How many of you here have ever been in the military? Hold your hand up. Can you imagine someone saying, ask the general what he's got in mind, you're just a private. And I'll let him know if I'm at all interested. You know what they're going to say? Son, whether you're interested or not has nothing to do with you obeying. You're a soldier. Can I remind you? Jesus didn't die for a club. My Bible says He died for an army of people who say, I'm here. I'm yours to command. I have to confess that David Gibbs too often has come to God with his own plans, with his own dreams. This God, and by the way, I like this one. God, I know you must like this because I like it. You say, yeah, but Brother Gibbs, to put my hands unconditionally in His,
He's the all-powerful, all-loving, the one who loves you so much he gave his son to die in your place. I promise you can trust him. Do not grieve his spirit. Do not quench his spirit. Yeah, but now, Brother Gibbs, I got a pretty good situation where I'm at. And I'm a little afraid if I told God anything, he might like... You know what? You're afraid to let go. And that thought in your heart thunders in heaven. You're quenching the very Spirit of God. Don't grieve him. Don't quench him. The great song, Brother McCoy, where he leads me, I will what? Follow. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Oh my. You want heaven's resource in your life? Don't grieve him. Don't quench him. The third and simple instruction, and we're done. Number one, don't grieve him. Number two, don't quench him. Number three, walk in him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. Please note, it doesn't say walk with the Spirit. That's how most want to do it. Come on, God, I'll let you know what I need you today. And you just want him to come along like your super buddy. God's not your super buddy. He's God. Oh, my. And he said, I don't want you grieving my spirit. I don't want you quenching my spirit. And I want you to walk in my spirit. Now, he tells you very, very clearly what that means. He said, the hallmarks of my spirit. And turn to Galatians 5. Let's read these together. Oh, I love how he lays this out. He says, you want to know what this means. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He said, what I want you to do is to raise this up. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, hope. He said, I want these raised up as the signal parts of your life. Easy to find if somebody's walking in the Spirit. When you look at my life, does it show love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, hope? Please note, the Bible doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. You read the list and you say, I'm pretty good on four of them, a little weak on two, and the others are, well, let's not talk about them. But I'm doing good at some. If you're walking in the Spirit, there what you see each and every one. In my life today, there is no success out of my life showing that list of the fruit of the Spirit. And when my life doesn't show it, then I don't have it. In life, people who minister, people who work in ministry, are four types. Write these down, would you please? You'll find this everywhere you go, and on occasion, you and I will be each and every one of these four types. Listen carefully. The first type of the person who ministers and does things in a ministry is the person who doesn't do what he's asked to do. He just doesn't do it. How many of you have ever asked somebody to do it only to have them not do it?
That's that individual. I've done that. You've probably done that. It's easy. You know what the tragedy is? That person is sinning when they don't do what in ministry they're asked to do. They are grieving the Spirit, they're quenching the Spirit, and they're not walking in the Spirit. It amazes me how wonderful people can just decide, I'm not going to do that. And suddenly, they violate all three of God's rules of enablement. The second person, number one, doesn't do what they're asked. The second type of person in ministry does what they're asked if you watch them. Does what they're asked if you watch them. They'll obey if you keep an eye on them. Industry is set up this way. They have to have managers and supervisors and oversight and keep an eye on folks because they've learned, most people, the minute you take your eye off of them, how many of you ever heard when the cat's away, the mice what? Play. You know what the tragedy with that is? That person is still violating all three of God's rules. If you only shape up when somebody's watching, the Bible calls you a man-pleaser. And God says, you're grieving me, you're quenching it, and you're not walking in it. Number one, doesn't do what they're asked. Number two, does what they're asked if you watch. Number three, this person does what they're asked when nobody watches. And this is minimally God's standard. Minimally. Number one, doesn't do what they're asked. Number two, obeys only if they're watched. Number three, you tell them to do something, Brother Herman, they're going to do it even if nobody's watching. But there's a fourth person. That's the person who does not only what they're asked, but whatever needs to be done, whether anybody ever knows about it or not. That's the person who's walking in the Spirit. I'm not just going to be that individual who does my best. I'm going to do my best about what I'm not even asked to do. And I'm not going to seek the praise. I don't know what's ahead for you in life. How many of you have ever had life throw you a funny curve? Hold your hand up. I mean, you say, you can be sitting here saying, I don't have a problem in the world. One phone call can turn your whole world upside down. A great seafaring captain, a man of renowned expertise, was interviewed at the conclusion of his career. There was no sea captain in the world with a better safety record than this man. And they came to him at the end of his career, which had spanned 40 years, he'd sailed every ocean on planet Earth. And this was his interview. He said, and I quote, "When anyone asks me how I can best describe my experience in nearly 40 years at sea, I merely say, uneventful." He said, "I hadn't had a problem in 40 years. In all my experience, I have never been in an accident. Never. I have seen but one vessel in distress in 40 years, in all my years at sea. I never saw a wreck, have never been in a wreck, nor was I ever in 40 years in any predicament that remotely threatened to end in a disaster of any sort." The captain's name was Edward Smith. He gave this interview on the deck of the Titanic as he prepared to take it to sea. 40 years, he said, and I haven't had a problem. Little did he know what lay 3 days away. The problem of a lifetime.
I don't know what you may face, but I serve the God that controls each and every tomorrow. And if you'll take His simplest of instructions, don't grieve my spirit. God, put your hand on exactly in my life what shouldn't be there. Don't quench my spirit. Lord, you lead, I'll follow. I'm yours, I submit. And then he says, I want you to walk in my spirit. You take what is the fruit, the signal of my spirit, and make them the goals of your life. It's God's simple instruction.
The Christian Law Association hopes that you've enjoyed this video presentation. The Christian Law Association is on the cutting edge of the fight for biblical religious freedom here in America. CLA is probably most well known for its free legal defense of Christians and Bible-believing churches who've been sued or are facing difficulties for exercising their biblical beliefs. Free legal counsel is given to churches and Christians for their ministries. Legal seminars are conducted at many sites around the country. The Legal Alert radio program provides concerned Christians with current updates about the battles their fellow Christians are facing so that they may pray for their cases. CLA's legal books, videos, and other resources help inform Christians of their rights and inspire Christians to a closer walk with God. Our CLA representatives present the ministry of the Christian Law Association in churches around the country. The Legal Alert is a monthly newsletter that alerts Christians to the issues they may be facing in the exercise of their faith and provides suggestions for avoiding legal difficulties as they practice their faith. Free legal consulting is provided to local, state, and federal officials and legislators who provide maximum religious liberty. And then it is the privilege of the legal missionaries of CLA to send up intercessory prayer on behalf of every prayer request which is sent to the CLA offices every month. The Christian Law Association would be honored to help you or your church. For more information, please contact the Christian Law Association at P.O. Box 4010, Seminole, Florida 33775. Our telephone number is area code 727-399-8300. We also invite you to visit our website at christianlaw.org. The faith-based ministry of the Christian Law Association is made possible by the prayers and financial support of local churches and concerned Christians.